morning and welcome. I'd like to welcome you all, whether you're here in the sanctuary or attending via our Facebook live stream. Welcome you all to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I will be leading worship today along with Dorothy Driscoll, who's going to be reading our scriptures, and Earl Linhart directing our choir, and Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in one of the offering plates that are at the back of the sanctuary here. If you're visiting from home, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if you want to know more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. I have a few announcements to share before we start this morning. The flowers are given by Kay Mackin and Linda Barr in recognition of their granddaughter's graduation. Kira, a Master's of Public Health in Epidemiology from Ohio State, and Aaron, from the Air Force Academy as a second lieutenant. Today is Memorial Sunday in our church. Later in the service, we will remember with the tolling of the bells those members who have died since our last Memorial Day. And because Memorial Day is tomorrow, the church office will be closed, and we will return to our normal office hours of 9 to 3:30 on Tuesday, May 31st. The farmers market here in Uptown Westerville has returned, and along with it, the First Presbyterian Church is engaging in an outreach ministry there, thanks to Heather. We are providing games and other activities for children, and we had 20 or more kids stop by yesterday. We're going to try to do this every Saturday this summer, every Saturday morning, and so we would love to have volunteers to do that. If you are interested, you can talk to Heather or me, or and the sign-up sheet is in our sign-up book, which is just outside the doors here. The next meeting of the Genealogy Club will be Thursday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. via Zoom. If you're interested or just curious about the club, you can contact Bill Hitt or Ken Bonvillet. And finally, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and you are encouraged to wear something red next Sunday as part of the celebration of that day. We wear red to remind us of the tongues of fire that came down from heaven and rested on the heads of the apostles, an event that marked the beginning of Christ's church's work in the world. And so we will do all that next Sunday. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Good morning. Let us join together to the call of worship. We come, O God, to hear again your word and prepare ourselves to receive your salvation as promised through our baptism in Jesus Christ. Let us join together in worship. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Every morning dawns. God is peace. Be still and know that God is here. God provides comfort and is with us all the moments of our days. Let us worship our ever faithful and loving God. Please join me in the prayer of approach. Dear God, whom we know in Jesus Christ, we bow our knees before you and ask for strength on our journey of faith according to the riches of your glory. Grant that Christ may so dwell in our hearts and minds through faith, in love, with all the saints, with the width and length and depth and height, the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise to his name.
Please be seated. If you're looking at your bulletin, it says Heather is supposed to be here, but it's actually my turn, so I'm going to take it. I wanted to invite the children to have this special time in worship. I wanted to talk about something, and that is tomorrow is a holiday that we call Memorial Day. It's a national holiday, and it's a day we remember. And we remember particularly those who served our country in the military. We also, in this church, not only remember and give thanks for those folks, we also remember those members of our church who have died since our last Memorial Day. That makes it a special day in the life of our church as well. Now, when someone dies, it's sad. We all get sad when someone dies. And maybe you know someone who has died, maybe a grandparent, maybe a pet. And we get sad when that happens. And of course, that's normal. And it's something we all go through. But one of the things we do on a day like Memorial Sunday is to remember we're not alone when we're sad like that. We remember that God is present with us, and that when we're sad, we can turn to God, and God gives us comfort. And one of the ways God does that is through each other in the church, and through family, and through friends that comfort each other when we're sad. So the next time you're sad, for whatever reason, I invite you to talk to God and tell God why you're sad. And God will make you feel a little better. And you can also tell your parents or maybe a friend or someone or me that you're sad as well, and we'll talk about it. And hopefully that'll make you feel a little better. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, you are our comfort when we're feeling sad, and may you comfort us all those times we're feeling sad so that we might know that your love surrounds us, even in those sad moments. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
While we walk the pilgrim pathways, while
Our scriptures today start out in Revelation. It's not only the last book of the Bible, but this is the last chapter. So we're doing the last book, the last chapter, and we end up with the last verse. So there we are. See that I'm coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with his testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The spirit in the bride says, come. Let everyone who hears it say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. And then the other verse is also from the New Testament, and it's Acts 16:16-34, which is the story of Paul being beaten and being thrown into jail. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had deviation and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she was followed Paul and us, she would cry out, these men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. She kept doing this for many days, but Paul got very much annoyed. Turned and said to the Spirit, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that the hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they brought them before the magistrates, they said, these men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or to observe. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had been given a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them secure. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet into the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But since he was supposed that the prisoners had all escaped, but Paul shouted in a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. The jailer called for lights. Rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they answered, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his household. The same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. And that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. Thank you, Dorothy, for the reading. Thank you, choir, for the music. I had a sermon all prepared on that passage that Dorothy read this morning. And someday I'll get to preach it and you can read the scripture again, Dorothy. However, I felt a need to go a different direction this week, and I'd like to begin with this passage from the Gospel of Mark, where we read this, "And Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me, do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs.'" This past week, we witnessed another school tragedy. Maybe it is because I have a wife who's a teacher and a son who works in a school for Spanish language students. Maybe it's because I have three children of my own, or maybe it's because I have a grandson who will start school in the fall. Or maybe just because I'm human, I couldn't let this school killing go this week. I cried, I screamed, I brooded, I turned to God. I have been in this pulpit for too many of these school tragedies. Sandy Hook, Parkland, Columbine before those, and others that I have forgotten. And maybe that's the problem. I've forgotten. We've forgotten. As I've said earlier, this is Memorial Sunday in our church. It is a Sunday that we remember those who have died since our last Memorial Day. We ring the bell for members. It is in the spirit of remembrance that I think of the 19 children who were killed this past week in Uvalde, Texas. I suspect that these children will fade from the public mind, if not in a few weeks, in a few months. Soon we'll argue about how to solve this problem, but today I want us to remember why we need to solve this problem. I think it would be good for us to remember these children and remember that they were beautiful, vibrant children who brought joy to their families and their school and their community. They were sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, cousins and grandchildren. They were loved and are still loved. And they need to be remembered beyond the town of Uvalde. And in remembering, maybe we can find the strength to put to end such tragic events. In Matthew we read, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And so as we mourn and are comforted, let me share with you and remember these children. Alexandria Rubio, age 10. She received the Good Citizen Award from her school and was on the All-A Honor Roll. She wanted to be a lawyer when she grew up. In Jeremiah we read, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more." And then there was Alethea Ramirez, age 10. She loved to draw and wanted to be an artist. She recently submitted a drawing to the Doodle for Google contest. And the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk proclaimed, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for hope?" Alejana Cruz Torres, age 10. She played softball and was in contention to make the league all-star game. And in Matthew we read, "When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men." L.A. Garcia, age 9. She loved cheerleading and basketball and dreamed of becoming a teacher. And in Psalm 34, we read, "The Lord is near. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit." Jackie Cazares, age 10, and Annabelle Rodriguez, age 10, they were cousins in that same fourth grade class. Jackie was the social one, Annabelle the quiet one, but they were inseparable. And in Revelation, we read, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Jayla Nicole Silguero, age 10. She loved to dance, and she loved to film videos on TikTok. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." Jace Luivanos, age 10. He would brew a pot of coffee for his grandparents every morning, and he also enjoyed making people laugh. And in the first letter of John, it is written, "Whoever says, 'I am the light,' while hating a brother or a sister is still in the darkness." Jose Flores, age 10, he was an honor roll student, and he loved to play basketball and to fish. And in Psalm 73, we read, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Layla Salazar, age 10, she liked to dance to TikTok videos and to sing with her father as they drove to school. And in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we read, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." McKenna Lee Elrod, age 10, she loved to sing and dance, play softball, and do gymnastics. She also liked hiding notes for her family to find. And the 23rd Psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Meti Rodriguez, age 10. She was an honor roll student who dreamed of becoming a marine biologist. And in the Gospel of John, we read, "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the light.'" Miranda Mathis, age 11, she loved to talk and have her mother curl her hair. And Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, "Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about people who have died so you won't mourn like others who don't have any hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose, so we also believe that God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus." Nevaeh Bravo, age 10. Her cousin wrote on Twitter, "She's flying with the angels now." And in Psalm 116, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones." Rogelio Torres, age 10. He was intelligent, hardworking, and helpful. And in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, we read, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs within his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those who are with young." Tess Marie Mata. She enjoyed softball and was looking forward to a vacation at Disney World. Psalm 147 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Uzziah Garcia, age 9, he enjoyed football, baseball, and video games, doing karaoke and bouncing on trampolines. And so it is that Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "So it is that the will of your Father in heaven is not that not one of these little ones should be lost." Xavier Lopez. He was an honor roll student. He also played baseball and soccer. And John begins his gospel, "Blessed all who received him, who believed in his name. He gave the power to become children of God." Amari Jo Garza, age 10. She was a jokester, and she enjoyed spending time with her friends during recess. There were also two teachers who were killed as well, and we should remember them as well. In 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." One of the teachers was Eva Morales. She had been a teacher for 17 years, and her husband was a police officer. In Ezekiel it says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live." The other teacher was Irma Garcia. She was a teacher for 23 years, the mother of 4 children. Her husband died of a heart attack a day later. We need to remember. And in remembering, we need to find ways to make this stop. Or I'll be up here having to preach this way again. And I don't want to. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for helping us remember. We needed that. Would you all join me in the affirmation of faith? I believe in I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from the hand back in the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life ever after. Amen.
seated. We come to a time of joys and concerns, and do want to lift up some to share this morning with the tolling of the bell, our Memorial Day remembrances. And so we remember these members who died since last Memorial Day. Connie Ackerman. Gabe Hoff. And Mike Etling. Let us now take a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you our thanks and praise for the gifts that you graciously bestow upon us, this gift of life which you sustain at every moment, the gift of eternal life given to us through the love and grace of your Son, Jesus. And because you are so gracious to us, enable us in return to live lives marked by gratitude, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. On this Memorial Day weekend, we honor the men and women in uniform who have given of themselves to the fullest extent, placing our lives ahead of their own. We hold them in our hearts today. For their example of courage, selflessness, and love, we give you thanks. Protect the men and women who are in uniform today, whose lives are on the line, until their work becomes unnecessary, when swords are beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. We remember as well those dear to us who have died since our last Memorial Day. We celebrate their lives and thank you for the gifts that they gave to us. And we ask that you comfort us as we grieve their passing, even as you welcome them into your heavenly home. Lord God, we lift up our prayers of pain and lament for those who were killed in the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and all the others who have died at the hands of violence. Help us to find a way. Help us to find a way to stop such tragedies from happening. We pray for those who are battling illness, recovering from surgery, dealing with problems at work, worried about the future, missing their loved ones, and traveling to distant places. May your Holy Spirit deliver comfort and reassurance, hope and love to them and to all of us as well. We pray all this in the name of the one who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray together the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forget our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us join in our closing hymn. now in peace, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and every day. Amen.